This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So here's what we're doing. We were brainstorming, going, okay, we've got a draft coming up here next week. And we realize the Texans are not picking in the first or second round. But yeah, we've also got a team that's starting up their off-season stuff.
The local buzz has been muted given the lack of those first or second round picks. They have eight selections, three in the third round, so it's not like they don't expect to get players that could make an impact.
And I think they can move into the second round if they really like somebody. There's no moving into the first round this year, I don't think, barring a Barnwell-type trade of trading a player like Whitney Mercilus, and I don't see that happening. Mercilus was one of the four or five guys they trotted out to the podium today to meet with the media. You're normally not putting a guy like that on the trade block during the offseason.
They will never trade him.
Right. So, as a build-up to next Friday's draft, that, of course, is day two of the draft for everybody but the Texans.
Rounds two and three.
That's right. We are going to hit a different position group each day. In reverse order of cruciality vis-a-vis the draft.
Yeah.
So we can dig into what the depth chart looks like right now, and we can dig into the chances that they might take somebody at that position, and if so, who it might be. Quarterback today, because I think they're... I thought there was a chance they could be taking a quarterback in the later rounds before they went ahead and signed two of them in the last few weeks with Brandon Weed and Joe Webb coming here.
Yeah.
Now I think it's probably more likely an undrafted free agent kind of thing.
Well, the one thing I want to say about the quarterback position, and I know we're each going to get our say and maybe make our suggestions and observances, but to me, they are razor thin in the QB room right now. Deshaun Watson's coming off a serious injury, you know, said to be good to go and on schedule, and everybody's hopeful we're going to see him for 16 games next season. But coming off a serious injury, Brandon Weeden hasn't been in a game in 3 years. He has not played in an NFL game since 2015. And Joe Webb, I feel like, is one of those do-everything, maybe emergency quarterback type guys. So in other words, what I'm getting at is I don't see a really... well, dependable, strong option on the roster if they are without Deshaun Watson. I think there's actually maybe more of a need to get a guy in there that they can maybe develop and turn into that number two, because Whedon's not getting any younger also.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if they draft a quarterback next weekend.
I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be shocked if they drafted somebody who would all of a sudden become the guy they throw into a game if Deshaun Watson gets hurt.
Yeah, Brandon Weeden's going to be first in there.
Sure, yeah. Short term.
Yeah.
Right.
I think he trusts Brandon Weeden, you know? I do. So, look, yeah, he hasn't played in a while, but, I mean, it's not like it's his first row. I mean, he's been around the NFL. You know? Right. I mean, he's been in the NFL. He knows.
I think he's your classic backup.
He's a competent backup quarterback.
He's a guy who was drafted in the first round because of his tools. He went to Cleveland, where a lot of guys have been chewed up and spit out there. So,
right.
And he's, you know, he's played a little bit here. Bill O'Brien likes him. Just for those who don't know, Taylor Heinicke was on the roster a few days ago. He was cut last Friday,
signed by the Panthers today.
Yes, yep.
I think when it comes to the quarterback room, I'm not so worried about having, you know, a guy in there. Look, if Brandon Weeden's that guy that's the older guy, the mentor, fine. I just don't think he needs it. I think Deshaun Watson's got it figured out. I think he knows. I mean, he's a pro. He handles his business like a pro. He doesn't need mentoring or to figure out how this works in the NFL. So I think he's already, just from a maturity standpoint and leadership standpoint, already so far ahead of most quarterbacks when they get into the league. Right?
I agree with you about Deshaun. I guess, what would you, is there a path you would have rather they taken to get to where they are depth chart wise?
Not necessarily.
There's much available out there.
No, there isn't. I'm okay with Weeden being that guy, but it's obviously a very short term solution. So if the thought is maybe we take a guy that we value more so than what, you know, his availability might be on draft day, and get him in the room and coach him up and maybe develop him into that dependable number two behind Watson, I don't find that far-fetched.
There are two draft scenarios that I look at for the Texans at quarterback, and I go, if either of these played out, I would be cool with it. One is one that I don't think is going to happen, but the Texans are clearly at least planning for the minuscule chance that it could happen. They worked out Lamar Jackson. If for some reason he starts sliding down the board, I just don't see him sliding to the third round.
I don't either.
If he were there with their pick early in the third round, I would be okay with them taking Lamar Jackson with that pick. The other scenario is a guy that I really liked when I watched him play this year, and I was watching quarterbacks all season in 2017 with Deshaun Watson in mind, because I am one. I know there's people that say you don't have to have a guy who does what Deshaun Watson does, but after watching Deshaun Watson, I want my quarterback to at least have an element of slipperiness and threat of running, the athleticism. I like Quentin Flowers from South Florida, and he's a guy who I think could be there in the fifth or sixth round when they've got a handful, you know, their next gaggle of picks. They've got three in the third round, and I think they've got three in the sixth round also. I think they're missing a fifth, because they used it to move up to get a third in that Seattle trade. So
he's 6 foot, 210.
Quentin Flowers?
Quentin Flowers.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, look, if he were 6'3, 225, he'd probably be drafted in the second or third round. So he's got size issues, but he's a dynamic player. And if they wanted to use a six round pick to try to make him the quote unquote developmental guy, I would be cool with that.
No, I get that. Look, I'm a huge fan of Lamar Jackson. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not so sure he's going to go in the first round, like a lot of people think.
No, but not available in the third. You agree?
I highly doubt it.
Yeah.
But you never know. I just don't know if people are completely, totally know exactly how his game is going to fit, translate into the NFL game. I love that guy. I think he's a great player. I think he can throw from the pocket. He's maybe more unconventional, just his style, but I just like the style of his play. Maybe another, I don't know, would you guys, if JT Barrett was available, would you guys?
He's a terrible passer.
Not in the third.
But like in the later
work
rounds?
As a passer. Yeah. It's almost like his legs are as valuable, if not more valuable, than his arm.
Yeah. I'm not wild about him.
I'll throw a name out there who's got the size that you were referring to, who I think would be available fifth, sixth, or seventh round, and it's the kid who took over for Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech.
Oh, Shimonek?
Shimonek, who is 6'3", I think about 220, and, you know, grades out fairly high from what I've seen in terms of aptitude and skills, and maybe could be a guy that where there's some development potential there.
Did you guys hear that the Texans and other teams have been meeting with Kyle Allen?
Yes.
Late of U of H and former Texas A&M?
Yes, and all I keep reading about him is he made a mistake coming out. I mean, he was a backup at U of H last year.
He was going to probably be a backup again at U of H, which is probably his thinking. You know what? Why be a backup here again one more year? Get on. I'm going to be an undrafted free agent probably whatever year I come out, so let's get the clock started at age 22 instead of 23.
He is one of two former Kevin Sumlin-coached Aggie quarterbacks in this year's draft because Kenny Hill. Is in the draft.
I believe he's trademarked all of those.
That's right. Yeah. Is in the draft as well.
There's a quarterback that's played in the NFL, made a lot of money playing quarterback in the NFL, who didn't start for his team. You guys know who that is?
Matt Cassel's
Matt
made
Cassel,
a lot of money.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Cassel wasn't even the starter on his team.
Yeah.
And he put together a nice little season in 2008.
He did. No, Matt Cassel's made a lot of money in the league. So it's not a death sentence to be a backup. Now, he was a backup to a Heisman Trophy winner. And he played at USC. But if I'm Kyle Allen, like, I get why he left. Like, if you look at it, you go, I'm just going to be here for another year spinning my wheels. I don't know how close he was to getting his degree, especially if you graduate already. Do I want to stick around here? I'm going to probably be a late round pick or undrafted regardless of when I come out. So let's get the clock ticking on my service time. And if I make a team, then I'm started that much sooner. It's one less year of unpaid tread on my tire. As long as we're talking about quarterbacks here, DeAndre Hopkins said something interesting today in his media availability about him and Deshaun Watson. And I want to see, this is sort of an off the cuff, we're going to be sort of freestyling and brainstorming this thing here. But I thought DeAndre Hopkins brought up an interesting talk radio sort of topic or notion.
That's my goal. I'm pretty sure that's his goal. And if we have those goals for ourselves, that's going to help the team, you know, get where we want to get to. You know, but expectations, you know, sky's the limit what that kid can do. You know, myself, I've only been playing receiver since college, not even my whole life. So I don't feel like I've reached my peak at my position. I'm pretty sure Deshaun would say the same about himself.
Basically, DeAndre Hopkins was asked about the possibility of them being the best duo in the NFL. I know they're not the most accomplished duo because by definition they can't be. Deshaun Watson's only played 6.5 games in the NFL. But if you were buying stock in a duo for the year 2018, I'd certainly buy stock in
Big
them
time.
For 18 through 2022, something like that. But if you were buying stock in a duo for this season, statistically, where do Watson and Hopkins stack rank?
Man, I think they're going to be up there. I think they could be a top five duo.
I went through the easily standings and listed right some of them. Right. I think they're top five also.
I mean, easily those guys. I mean, look, with Deshaun coming in, you know, in the second half of the game one of the season, and then having the success he did that fast with D-Hop. I mean,
he's on pace to throw more than 40 touchdown passes.
Yeah, I think they could easily be one of the top duos in the league.
I went through the standings. Here are the ones that I listed that I think are in the conversation for this. And I'll call it pass catcher, not receiver, because in New England, it's Gronk.
Right,
right?
Sure.
So Brady and Gronk are certainly, they may be number one when they're both healthy. Ben Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown. I think that's one where, at least for one season, you go, okay, well, they probably went Watson and D-Hop.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of who I would have put with Carson Wentz. So I went with Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey.
Yeah, but that's what I would have said.
Yeah, but I would take Watson and D-Hop as a duo over. I think Philly may win more games, but I think Watson and D-Hop as a duo.
Let me throw one out there. What about Goff and Brandon Cooks?
Yeah, I didn't. I have them like fringe top 10, Rich, because they haven't played together yet, for one thing. And I don't know that Cooks is elite. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that Goff is elite. I feel like they're both like 6.5, 7s out of 10s, mm-hmm, but that's a good one. Cousins and Thielen is sort of TBD because they haven't played together yet.
Right.
That's potentially one.
Don't sleep on Brees and Michael Thomas also.
I have them written down. Mm-hmm. Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. Aaron Rodgers - question marks.
It was Jordy Nelson.
Could it be Randall Cobb? Could it be Jimmy Graham? I almost feel like you have to list somebody with Aaron Rodgers because he's so good. Like him and anybody. Matt Ryan and Julio Jones.
Yeah, that's one I was thinking of.
Yep. And then the last one, Jameis Winston and Mike Evans are the ones that all kind of made the cut on my list.
That's pretty good. Jameis, though, kind of came back to the pack a little bit last year. Bucks picked up his fifth-year option today. Big surprise.
Yeah.
But when you list those, I mean, I think Deshaun Watts can be better than the quarterbacks that you mentioned there, like Kirk Cousins and Jared Goff. I mean, look, Ben Roethlisberger is an accomplished player. We know that Matt Ryan is an accomplished player. But I think Deshaun Watson is on that level. I mean, I think Deshaun Watson's already a top seven quarterback in this league.
I think they're in the upper half. We just rattled off, I think, about 10 duos. Mm-hmm. I think they're in the upper half. As long as Watson's healthy, I think they're in the upper half of the 10 duos we just rattled off.
I agree.
Off.
So Eli and Beckham Jr. didn't make the cut, huh?
Yeah, mostly because of Beckham Jr. and all that weed that he's been smoking. Because Eli's the man. He's a Hall of Famer.
Clearly.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.